Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. This is the show where I'm your host. Hello. Yes, you're already here. Thank you. There's a whole bunch of people already here. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send us an email or question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. Just give me one second here. I've actually gotten tangled up. It's a good thing you can't see me, or you guys would be offering advice. Yes. Hang on one sec. We've gotten tangled. Ah, we've gotten untangled. Yes. Technology works. Excuse me. It's going, oh, hello, and how are you? Now, this time, we're going to be talking about needing approval. And the question is, since this is not a scripted show, we're going to ask one of our base questions to find out what we'd like to talk about. Yes. So within our context, within the context of a dispute resolution, a mediation, a negotiation, a consensus building, even a workshop and a seminar, within our context, what and types and from whom, really, do we need approval? Yeah, who are we going to seek this approval from? Yeah, who do we need to have it approve so that we can get to our successful outcome? Oh, I see there's lots of you. Thank you all for being here and for your participation. And, yes, for reminding me to introduce myself at the beginning of the show. It's like, wait, you haven't said the words that you always say. Yes, you're right. You know what? I think the first person from whom we need approval is a lot of us are talking about it, and I think this is a very good point. We need approval from ourselves. Yes, we're it. We're the person that needs to give ourselves approval. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then second up, I think, is an employer. Yeah, somebody who's hired us to do a certain specific task. They need to approve what we're doing, and they need to rather sign, maybe even sign off on our path to a successful outcome. Yes, this is true, too. Our participants need to kind of approve our leadership, right? They need to want to come, so our participants do. This is a biggie in today's world, especially since everybody is the media. The media might need to have approve what you're doing. Yeah, and put out favorable things, favorable articles, favorable tweets and blogs and like that, and say, wow, this is really a good thing, because they sway what's going to be our next topic, public opinion. Public opinion, you need to seek their approval too, especially if you've got something that's being voted on, right? Yeah, they've got to go to the polls and say, yes, I agree with that. I'm on your side. Mm-hmm. And I think the last area that we're going to cover, because quite frankly, we will run out of time if we have more than six, and these are pretty much everybody's within these six, is the approval of other leaders that we'd like to get together with, right? Yeah. They might be international leaders. Mm-hmm. This is a global show, and a lot of times Recipe for Peace Now does work globally and with other kinds of leaders, and we even use translators and things like that sometimes. Yeah. So it's a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. So let's get started. The first seeking of approval is ourselves. With ourselves, right? Yes, we need to approve in our hearts that we're doing. Yes, Elizabeth says it's the most important to be confident and satisfied with our leadership abilities. It's most important to be confident and satisfied with our leadership abilities. Yes, and Muhammad says that you cannot lie to yourself. You know, it's a good point. You cannot lie to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. You have to truly feel confident that you have your own approval. And this will show when you're dealing with participants and everybody else. It will show that you think you know what you're doing and you're confident in your abilities. And even if you need to modify, that's not a failure and it's not a lack of foresight. Sometimes life happens and things, circumstances change or knowledge of circumstances change, right? Yeah, it may not even be so much that the circumstances changed, but your knowledge of what was going on has changed. Yes, and that means that you're going to need to really think about it, but you're still confident in your ability to be flexible, to understand when circumstances have changed, when knowledge has changed, and to be able to find a solution, right? And to incorporate the new circumstances and knowledge properly, right? So that you can reach the successful outcome with your group. So it's really a matter of yourself being confident and satisfied. And you know, sometimes that's a hard thing, especially when you are first in the field. Because you do get some confidence after some years because, quite frankly, if you stay in this field for some years, you're kind of good at it. You're a people person and you understand that group dynamic and you understand how to be flexible and work with the circumstances. Yeah, you've got kind of skills, right? And you don't stay leader very long if you're not confident and satisfied that you've got those skills. Your participants will be confident and satisfied that you've got those skills if you are. Yeah. Yes. Suki and others are talking about being in groups, being a participant, or even a co-leader, where somebody who is the leader really doesn't evidence confidence in themselves, right? Their self-approval is low. It shows. And it makes you want to scream. I mean, it makes you think that we're not going to make it because our leader is a dud, right? You must always show confidence and satisfaction in yourself and self-approval, right? Now, how do you get this is what people are asking because, well, not everybody has 35 years of experience, right? You're starting out. Everybody starts out, right? Everybody's got their first one. By the way, don't tell your participants that it's your first one, right? I've never done this before. Let's see. No. You've been chosen as leader. You've been chosen by an employer maybe, which is going to talk about next time, next topic. But you've been chosen. You are the leader. Do not deprecate yourself and say, oh, I've never done this before. Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, I'm going to need a lot of help with this. No. You know who I see doing this a lot? Women. I don't know why, but it makes me want to yell no. You're the leader. Stand up straight and tall and act like you know what you're doing because it'll go to your self-approval too. If it's going well, your self-approval will rise, right? Yes. The participants don't want to know that they're your first guinea pigs, right? That you've never done it before and you're completely lost, more lost than they are. Ah, gee, I didn't want you to tell me that. I want you to tell me that you have confidence and that you're good at this, right? Yeah, not, oh, my God, no. Oh, I'm confident is the sentence that goes with this. Yes, I've got this. How about you? Yeah, not, oh, I don't know what to do. No. You know very well what to do because you're a competent human being, right? Right. So leadership has confidence in ourselves, right? Yes. Now, how do we get this confidence? Because as Muhammad says, you cannot lie to yourself. And you can make, I know what I'm doing in front of everybody, but you need your own self-approval too, right? And you're going to need to feel confident inside too and not make it just be a front, because otherwise you won't be good at it and you'll be unhappy and uncomfortable. So what should we do? We're going to need some experience. Let's try not to make our first leadership, which we, of course, not going to announce, it's our first. Let's try not to make our first one the first time we've ever seen a mediation or a negotiation or consensus building. Let's try to make our first one watching someone else do it so that we can get an idea of how it's done. Let's be a participant. Let's volunteer, right? Yeah. Let's volunteer something that we were interested in, not just for the sake of volunteering, but let's volunteer to be part of a group with a leader we respect, with a leader with a lot of experience. I have that in my groups. People volunteer. They're interested in the topic, whatever it is we're doing, but they partially volunteer because they want to see how it works. And I'm an experienced leader, and I've got a good reputation. And so I have no trouble getting people to volunteer to be of assistance, right? I have no trouble getting people to volunteer to lend their expertise, because it's interesting to be in my groups. And it's interesting to see how it's done. And you really get somewhere. You really help something, do something good, maybe for the world, maybe for a niche, whatever it is that we're doing, right? Right. Maybe for your employer, which never hurt anything, by the way, because they know when you're giving extra time and really working to improve your employment in some way, right? Right, yeah. That's how you get promoted. But it is important to get experience. Be a participant. I sometimes am a participant with leaders I respect. Well, they know that I'm not just a participant, so they ask my opinion and like that because I'm well known by now. But especially when I was younger, I used to volunteer and participate and watch leadership style and think about what was happening and think about the group dynamic. And it's terribly interesting to be on the other side and be a participant, because the participants talk amongst themselves, right? And they've got opinions, and they've got ideas, and they've got opinions and ideas about the leader and about how it's going and like that. And it's terribly interesting, because then you understand the dynamic and how people will react when you're doing it, right? Yeah. And how it is to be a participant. So you want to become a participant. You might even, when you get a little bit more well-known, or maybe there's a program, or maybe you can get some sort of class credit or some continuing education credit or something like that, yes? If somebody will let you, because you're going to be useful and not just a sponge, but you're going to, help with the process in some way or lend your expertise, if an experienced leader will let you, then maybe you could shadow them. That would be fabulous, right? A lot of times in corporate structure that happens, because I do it sometimes, because I work for multinationals, right? And sometimes someone needs to be a leader in a different geographic area. They've come to the United States to train and to find stuff out about the company, because it's a U.S. company usually. But then they're going back to their country, their homeland, and they're going to be the leader in the type of group that I'm leading, right? Usually a workshop or a seminar, in all truth and honesty, but sometimes a negotiation. And they need to shadow. They need to be let into the magic room. No, they need to understand what transparency is and how to work things. And they need to be instructed so that when they get back, they can take this knowledge and they can replicate, the big word, because you can never actually replicate anything that has to do with humans, but they need to be able to to have a successful teams, right? And in order to do that, they really need to shadow you. Mm-hmm. And outside of the corporate world, this is probably true too, especially if you're going to be working with the leader or in a different area that impacts the experienced leader's abilities, right? They'll let you shadow so that you can really see how it's done. Because, you know, when you're a participant, it's like being in the theater. You're at the front. But there's a lot of, you're in the audience, but there's a lot of prep work that goes on to being a leader and to really thinking about your group and the participants and how to reach a successful outcome that benefits all. Yeah. So to shadow is a very, very fine thing. Mm-hmm. And yes, thank you. Thomas and others are saying that you gain a good reputation if you volunteer and participate and like that. And then people already know you. They already know that you have a fine reputation in the community, that you have worked on this before, that you are dreadfully competent, and that having you as leader will be a good thing, that we'll reach a successful outcome and you'll know how to lead us towards that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really a question of participating before you get to be the leader, so that when you're chosen as leader, you feel confident that you have your own self-approval, yes, and that you've already got a good reputation. Yes, this is true too. Elaine and other people are saying that if you feel confident and you're satisfied with your own self-approval, and you think, well, you know, this is the first time I've been the actual leader, but I've seen this done. I can handle this. We're in good hands. Yeah, you will have a positive self-fulfilling prophecy. You will. You know, we talk about the prior shows are archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com, and we've talked about self-fulfilling prophecies. And usually, you think of them as kind of negative. Somebody said something bad about you and you took it to heart. Well, you know, that's positive too. I have confidence in myself that I can handle this. I have my own approval, my self-approval, right? Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to make it. A positive, self-fulfilling prophecy. How fabulous, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's go on to the next one, which I think is going to be employer approval, and we've just touched on it. But yes, sometimes you've actually been employed by, well, either a person or a board. Usually, well, I get employed by a board a lot because they're big companies, but a person also, an organization, brought in by an organization. But these, even organizations and boards and corporate culture, have humans that need to give some sort of approval, right? Mm-hmm. They might even need to actually sign off on something. Sign off on funding. Sign off on time for their employees to do this. They might want to know who's participating. They might want to know who you'd like to participate, right? Who needs to participate but hasn't volunteered. Sometimes that's true. I need to have people on a supervisory level volunteer. And that's very different than just I'd like to come and I'd like to help, right? Sometimes people are volunteers, but they're kind of forced volunteers, especially in the corporate world, organizational also, because you need a certain level to impart what they've learned to their team. To their team, their people that are working with them in their particular unit oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So what do we need in order to get employer approval? Yes. Lots of folks, George and others, are talking about clear guidelines. Yes. If you've been called in and they've asked you to lead a team or a seminar or workshop or a negotiation, this would be third party impartial. If you've been called in, especially if you've never worked with these people before, this employer, even if you're kind of hungry for the employment, because sometimes when you're starting out, you really kind of could use the job, you need to get some clear guidelines set down. Might even need them in writing, depending on what you think of this particular employer. I'm going to say you should get the guidelines in writing. Personally speaking, because I've worked with the same organizations for years, I don't get it written down anymore because we understand. But I do clarify when we first start out, I do clarify the guidelines. Yeah, I want to know what the goal is, at least what the employer thinks the goal is, before we start. What do we want? Who is going to be on the team if you already pre-selected? Who are they? And why did you put them there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I really do is, this is true. People are saying that you break out the 5W questions. I think I do. When I'm first brought in, a lot of times I'm brought in when groups have kind of already had a leader but have failed, because the leader was internal to the organization, right? And I'm an external, I'm a consultant. So I am a third-party impartial brought in from the outside. But sometimes they try the groups and the teams and like that internally. The employers try to make a group because of level of employment as leader, make the leader that. And a lot of times that fails because they don't understand how to make consensus. They don't understand how to build consensus. So I'm brought in. I want to know the 5W questions because that's my clear guidelines, right? Mm-hmm. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who, what, where, when, and why? I want to know what's going on before I step in the room and tell everyone there's a new sheriff in town. But I need to be informed. I need to be able to understand the group dynamic when I walk in the room, because there already is one. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to know, and my who, what, where, when, and why, it goes to the who, really. I'd like to know if the prior leader, who is now being replaced by me, is still a team member. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know why. Because that really impacts the group dynamic. Because you've got someone who feels insulted, right? Because nobody gives up leadership willingly. I know they say they do. In the United States, politicians and stuff, and heads of companies, they get into trouble, right? Or they are potentially in trouble. And they know that real scrutiny won't work because it's not going to be a good thing. And so they make the little speech, I'm going to give up, I'm going to resign because of family issues and quality of life, and I'm going to write a book of poetry. This is just something to say. Yeah, and if you've got the prior leader in the group, it affects the group dynamic. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. I will, but I want to know the guidelines. I want to know the who, what, where, when, and why before I accept, before I take this on. And that, because I do that, and you should too, get down straight what's going on, the clear guidelines. If you do that, your reputation will be fabulous because you'll be able to handle anything because you've gotten background. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I want to hear the who, what, where, when, and why from more than one person, right? Because all of those answers are kind of opinions. A lot of them are, at least. And I want different perspectives, different opinions. I want you to tell me really what's going on. Yeah. So that I can really make a judgment about what should be done.
Mm-hmm. Who, what, where, when, and why. Yes, when you need employer approval, people are talking about defining what success looks like. I want to know what it is that you think I'm supposed to do. Yeah, what does success look like? What's your goal? Why am I being brought in? What's the conclusion that you want to see? Mm-hmm. And as Gail says, and how flexible are you? Now, I don't know, you might be able to ask how flexible are you outright. I often do, because I have kind of a prior relationship with most of my employers. Mm-hmm. And we can talk off the record, right? I want to know what their opinion is and how much sway I've got, how much leeway. What's the least, what's the most, what's your hope for, that kind of stuff. Now, it depends if you've got that kind of relationship, as somebody will tell you honestly. Sometimes they haven't really fleshed it out in their own mind. You ever have that? Yeah, I have that sometimes. Sometimes I haven't exactly got it straight in my own mind, exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. You need to really think on it. You need to really consider what it is that I want, right? Yeah. What it is that I want, what it is that we need to accomplish, and what does success look like now? And when I report into you, we may need to modify that vision. Maybe too big. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yes, Alan and others are talking about transparency in expectations. Yes, we talk about transparency a lot at Recipe for Peace Now because I don't have much subtlety and I like people to understand what's happening is the key to it. And transparency really means I'm going to tell you what I think is going to go on. I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, right? And I'm going to be able to say, look, this is what we're going to do. This is the process. This might even be how long it's going to take. A lot of times people ask me, how long is it going to take? Because that's transparency and expectation. And the answer is I'm not sure because every issue is different. Every group is different. Some groups take a long time. They have to really kind of analyze every minutia. And some groups would kind of like the leader to just make a decision and move them forward. And let's go. Yeah, it depends on the dynamic of the group. A little bit, a lot of it. It depends on culture. Not only the culture of the people, their ethnicity, and their experience with authority figures, whether or not authority figures just tell you what to do, because after all, you are an authority figure. And also it has to do with corporate culture and whether or not they just want you to help them get it done and leave, or they'd really like to know that they've really thought every minutiae through and they've all had a vote and like that. Yeah, that depends on the group. So, how long will it take, which is an transparency expectation? I usually think big, because then if I make it in less time, it enhances my reputation, right? Yes, people think you're a freaking genius. It enhances my reputation. If I'm faster, this is a good thing. So let's think about that. Yes, we're going to estimate less time, more time than we think it'll take. So if it takes less time, it's a mighty fine thing. Mm-hmm. That's a little trick, I know. Yes, people are talking about transparency in the process, which is really transparency in expectations. It means that I'm going to tell you how it's going. Mm-hmm. Yes, quite a few people are talking about reports. A lot of times you make kind of a regular report on the progress, just so people know how it's going. Sometimes it's a written report, sometimes it's a verbal report, and sometimes it's not really required. Sometimes it's got a timing, like every week or something like that. You know what I mean? There's different ways of doing it depending on the issues, depending on the employer, depending on what's going on. In my stage in the game, I'm not usually required to make reports as we go along because everybody knows that I'm dreadfully efficient. I am diligent, and we're working on it. It'll take as long as it'll take. We'll get there as fast as we can, and the conclusion will be successful and workable. Because in my opinion, an outcome that you can't practically work with, that you can't live with, is no kind of an outcome. What kind of a thing is that? That's not successful. That's just wasting time. Mm-hmm. So I think that you should have a practical outcome at all times. So I don't get watched so much. And everyone knows my assistant is very efficient. And if I need actual, like clerical, actual administrative type help, I'll ask for it. If I need some sort of funding, I'll ask for it. You know what I mean? So we've got that those kind of relationships. You might have to make a report regularly, though, if you don't have any long-standing relationships. I like to invite my boss, the person who needs them, from whom I am seeking approval. I like the person that has to approve to come. Yeah, to come, to participate. I even will Skype them in, right? Conference call them in, because one look, one visit, one viewing is worth 1,000 words on a written report that could be misunderstood, right? I like to do it that way. I like to have people participate and understand what's happening. I like to keep my employer, who I need to seek the approval of, in the loop of any kind of emails and reports, research, anything that's going around to all the participants. I keep him or her who needs to approve in the loop so they feel connected, so they feel like they really understand what's going on. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I report on our progress regularly, even though I don't have to. Because then people understand if you need to modify, the approval person, the approver, needs to understand that if something needed to be modified, something that's not exactly what we talked about, that's what needed to be done. And it's sensible and it's a good idea, right? Yeah. I think that's very important. I like to keep people who need to approve things in the loop. Then they understand why they need to approve something. Because along the way, a lot of times, there's something that needs to be done, right? There's something that needs to be handled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you should keep them in the loop. The next topic that we were going to talk about is participant approval. Yes. Your participants have to approve of your leadership and of the direction that the group is going, right? The participants have a say. Mm-hmm. How do you know that you have their approval? Yes, thank you. Hussein and others are saying that you have their approval when they are being enthusiastic, when they're enthusiastic participants. This is a good group. This is really tight. This is led. I have transparency. I understand what's going on. I understand what I need to do. I understand what other people are doing. We are progressing forward. I understand what success looks like. Wow, I'm feeling enthusiastic. This leader is great. Yeah. Yeah, Sue's fabulous. I would do anything with her. Right? Yes. Yes, it is funny. You do get a reputation. times on corporate stuff, it's announced who's leading the team. Man, when it's announced that I'm leading the team, I get an overflow. Yeah. Sometimes I get so many people that I actually have to have like a lottery. I don't want to insult anybody and say that you can't be in. But, you know, some things don't need 45 people. It's too much, too big, too many people on it, too clumsy for the amount of issue that's being handled, right? Yeah. So I have to actually sort it out. And sometimes I sort it by – I've actually done a lottery to be included, which is fair. Sometimes I can sort it by level, like a supervisory level, a certain level of employment, right? And then nobody feels insulted. If they're not on that level, what can you do? We'll get you next time. Yeah. And so enthusiasm is how you know that you've got your participant approval. Mm-hmm. How else do you get a participant approval? Yes, Salid and others are talking about the ability to ask questions. Yes, you need to be able to ask questions and not just be told stuff. And besides, sometimes people tell you to do something. We all have this. And you didn't exactly understand it. Yeah, it wasn't real clear. You think you've got it. But gee, don't really exactly. You're not quite sure that you've really understood what's going on, right? Yeah, it seems like you do, but in real life, not so much. Yeah. So you need the ability to ask questions. Maybe even ask questions of your subcommittee, your team leader there. You need to be able to ask questions of us, the leader. Sometimes the questions should be asked in front of everyone because everybody like to know. And if you don't understand it exactly, maybe somebody else in the group doesn't understand it either. All of us don't understand it. And we just didn't know to ask the question. I've had that. Somebody asks a question and we go, oh. A question about impact, for example, and unintended consequences. And we all go, oh, that's a good question. Let's find out the answer. Let's find an expert. Let's find out. Let's determine what it is that we need to know, right? Let's find out. Let's find out that answer. Yeah. And that's very important. It's very important to be able to say, look, I'm not certain. Let's find out. Let's determine that. Yeah, that's what you call in an expert. How do you know when your participants approve of you? Yeah, when you have a participant approval. Participant approval not only of you as leader, but of the whole process of how it's going, of are we getting somewhere? Yes, that's really the key to it. It's participant approval of getting to the successful outcome. How are we doing? Yeah? Yes. This is true, too. Yes, Tamira and others are saying that you know that the participants are excited and approve and are enthusiastic when the participants self-initiate to go beyond the requirements. When the participants self-initiate to go beyond the requirements. Yes. I volunteer to do something extra. I wish, and I make this very clear so that it's not just a wish, but it's kind of a rule. You know how sometimes participants get excited and they self-initiate and they do something. Well, people are saying bad or stupid. Well, no, not really. But they do something kind of sideways that doesn't help and might give outsiders like the media, which we're about to talk about, kind of the wrong impression about what we're doing because this participant or this group of participants said that they were part of our group and they were doing it kind of on our behalf, but nobody told them to. I make it very clear in my transparency speech, and as we go along too, because people forget, to please ask before you do anything. Ask before you buy anything, before you look at anything, before you go on a field trip, before you talk to the media, before you blog, before you do any, before you call in an expert that nobody asked you to call in, right? I'd like you to discuss it with the group first and get our approval, because your leader needs to approve the actions of the group, right? That's another approval level. Right? I, as leader, need to approve. Our group needs to approve. We need to think about that. It's a nice idea, and it's nice of you to volunteer, and it's nice of you to be willing to do it. But we all need to think about whether or not that's a good thing at this moment. Right? Right. Yeah, so I require approval for my participants doing something. Right? Don't just let them go off and do something that they truly think is wonderful and helpful, but kinda isn't. Right? Right. Yeah. So you need approval of your participants of the group, but approval for your participants too. Right? Mm-hmm. And that goes to the transparency. And to the self-initiation, sometimes you have that people get really excited and enthusiastic, and you'd like to, you need them to tell you first. I don't like surprises. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is transparency in the process, too. And I make that very clear that we don't like surprises. Please don't. Even if it's fabulous, please tell us first. Yeah, because we'd all like to know. All like to participate. Mm-hmm. You know, people are talking about participant approval and doing a survey and doing like an anonymous opinions box, so to speak. Nothing wrong with that. I think that those things come into play too late. I guess it's okay for the next time. But yeah, a lot of leaders have their participants fill out a questionnaire, a survey, after we've reached our successful outcome. Oh, people are saying they do it so that they can get good reviews, which then they post. Maybe, she said very slowly, if you're going to use people's names, I think you should get their permission first before you post it on your website that you're the biggest genius in the entire universe. Ah, yeah, I really do. I think that you should get the names straightened out first, the permission, written permission. Yeah, not everybody likes to have their name used. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the surveys might be interesting. Interesting afterwards. I kind of like people to voice their opinions during those so we can do some about it. Mm-hmm. Now we're headed to media. Media is kind of tricky because nowadays, I mean, it used to not be so tricky. You had traditional media. You had to actually call up a reporter or really do something that caught the eye of the news media. And it would have to be something kind of big. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, your participants are media. Yeah, they are, because they've got all those charming mobile devices to reach out to the world. I have a rule, and a lot of you guys know this because you've been here before. My rule is no texting, no blogging, no Facebooking, no reporting on what we're doing while we're doing it. Because it's like, who is it, Benjamin Franklin said that no man who loved the law or sausage should see how either one is made. Yeah, it's messy. We're still thinking on it. We're still gathering experts and opinions and figuring out what it is we're going to do. Don't editorialize in print, for God's sake. And then the internet lasts forever, and somebody will quote you out of context 2 years later, I swear. Yeah, I've seen it done. please, I make people not play with their stuff while we're in session, and I ask them not to report, not to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because it's so important to not make comments kind of on the fly, especially because, you know, written comments, people don't seem to understand this. Written comments don't have any voice inflection or any facial cues. And so something that you thought was funny or, God forbid, sarcastic, when it's written down, seems like that's what you mean. It seems like fact. Yeah, and you didn't mean it that way, but that's how it came out. That's what it looks like, right? Yeah. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. What you need to do is, and thank you, quite a few people, Natalie and others, are talking about the fact that you need to appoint the group needs to appoint a spokesperson. Now, this spokesperson is oftentimes the leader, but doesn't have to be. Sometimes you've got somebody in your group who would be a better spokesperson because they have more expertise, more technical knowledge, for example. Sometimes somebody not in your group wants to be the spokesperson. For example, your employer, right? They want to get the credit for getting this done. Yes. Sometimes the spokesperson might even be somebody who is more distant than that. Might be, for example, a politician, right? Yes, they want to be the spokesperson because they want to be affiliated. Nothing really wrong with that as long as it gets the job done. I don't have a need as leader to be the spokesperson. In fact, I kind of don't care one way or another. But you need to have somebody appointed as your spokesperson who can do a good job and really understands what they're supposed to do, really understands what the team effort is, what we represent, and can take questions. Mm-hmm. This is, yes, we do practice. There's really nothing wrong with practicing. I think it's a real good idea. Actual practice in front of a camera if it's important enough and they're going to be talking to the media. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Professional, there's experts that can help you do that if it's important enough and judge what you're saying and how you look and how you look saying it. And really, because it's very important to have media approval. If you don't, and the media does not approve what you're doing, they will seriously sway public opinion, which is our next topic, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suppose this is really a true statement. Zoe and others are saying it's a marketing challenge. You know what? It kind of is. Because you are marketing, promoting your opinion, your successful outcome, what you think should be done, to the media so they can tell the public, right? Especially if something needs to be, especially if the public needs to do something, like vote. Mm-hmm. Or in some way have impact, right? Yeah, very important. Very important for the media to understand your side. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a marketing challenge. This is true. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's always an opposition. So the opposition is in competition for the media attention. They want the media to go their way, right? If it goes your way, then it's kind of not their way. So you've got competition, which is probably why it's, as Zoe says, a marketing challenge. Because you want to be sure your success is the favored one with the media. Mm-hmm. Now, our next topic is going to be public opinion. And public opinion is indeed swayed by the media, right? It's sometimes it's even created by the media. People didn't know they had an opinion about this because they didn't ever think about it. But now they do because they've seen it on the Internet. They've seen it in the media, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Public opinion approval. People are saying it has a cultural basis. Maybe. Yeah, it's a good point, especially a corporate culture, right? We want something to be done. Sometimes what needs to be done is internal. It has really nothing to do with the media or outsiders or anything. It's an internal difficulty that's being resolved, right? Public opinion approval. The public might be the corporate insiders, the employees. Mm-hmm. Cultural. This is true. A lot of you are talking about what I'm going to call non-media leaders who have influence. Non-media leaders who have influence. And this is true. There's a lot of that. I personally am a churchgoer. And the religious leaders have influence. They stand and they make in Christianity we make a sermon, right? And then they kind of get together. The church is somewhat activist, and it gets together groups who go and do good things in the world, right? Right. And this is non-media. Usually the media doesn't even notice that we're doing good in the world because they like a good sensation, and helping people is not as does not sell newspapers, not the newspapers anymore, but doesn't get the public attention as much as something disastrous. So we kind of quietly do it, and then other churches find out, and then they get together with us. Same thing for Rotary, right? Rotary, we are eradicating polio around the world. Long time doing it. Bill Gates tries to take all the credit, but he's a newcomer, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So there's non-media leaders who have influence on public opinion. Mm-hmm. A person like Bill Gates, for example, would have influence on public opinion. And then there's religious leaders, and there's ethnic leaders, right, cultural. And then there's corporate leaders, too. I always like to throw in corporate because we don't necessarily think of corporations as a culture, but they are. They're kind of insular cultures all in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, our last topic, because we're going to head towards not having time for a recipe if we don't get to our last topic. Our last topic is actually other leader approval. Yeah, we need the approval of other leaders because, well, if we're all on the same side, we're all working towards the same successful outcome, maybe we could create a coalition. Yeah, why not? Coalitions are created all the time. I'm going to use the church and the Rotary and like that as an example because, for example, Rotary has all kinds of clubs. They're all called Rotary clubs, but they have different purposes. They help people, but they have different specific purposes. And they're in different, all over the world, so they're all different cultures, all different religions. All different ethnicities, right? And Rotary clubs all over the world, because they have the ability to connect with each other through Rotary and have a base of service above self, right? Rotaries all over the world connect with each other when they're doing a certain project, like clean water, for example, right? And they create like a coalition. They work together to make sure that things go smoothly so that people can come in and help them get clean water or get supplies. Or polio to get the vaccine is a big deal. You have to come. Think about the logistics of this. You have to come with the vaccine. You have to have people come with the vaccine. You have to have had the dissemination of the information that we're coming beforehand so people line up and they know to show up for the vaccine, right? You need housing for the people that have, for Rotarians have come. You need, well, all right, we're usually Americans and we, at least my team is, and we need clean water if it's kind of iffy because we get sick easy. And like that, I mean, it's a tremendous, just the logistics of setting up the location for people to come to get the vaccine and bring their babies. Yeah, it's a biggie. Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of teamwork. A lot of different kinds of people have to be convinced that this is a good thing and it's in their best interest not to have people with polio in their villages and like that, because it's catchy. So you need to create coalitions. Sometimes governments create coalitions, and they're kind of different people, right? Yeah. So you need other leader approval. Somebody has to say, look, this, the president's really, really into this and really good at it. Let's pool our resources and our knowledge and, affect climate change. Especially if you think that is such a thing, never mind. So you need cross-cultural communication, as quite a few people are saying. Yes, you need cross-cultural communication, easier than you might think, even if people don't all speak your language, because it's easy enough to get translation software now. It works pretty good. I mean, it's not exactly perfect, and I do like to have a human, if possible, also, because language is nuanced, right? And the computer software kind of picks the most popular word, but it's not necessarily exact translation, but it's not exactly the meaning that was meant. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. I've seen it done with English, which is how I'm so sure. You know how? Okay. People are asking for an example. You know the word cap. CAP is something you wear on your head, or it's something that is short for capitalization, right? And it's something that means to cap something, means to end it, right? The computer would pick the one on your head because that's probably the most common use. And see, it makes for kind of funny translations, but you have to understand that that's what's happening, right? That's why I like a human also. Cross-cultural communication. People are talking about we're going to run out of time for the recipes. I apologize, but we've had a fabulous discussion. People are talking about the fact that you have to always remember when you're talking and getting other leader approval, and this is absolutely true, that for everybody, not just them, it's a media moment. You have to put what you want in such a way that they want to say, look, I supported this. I am fabulous as a leader. It's a media moment. Yes, this is true. Sadir says it is also a power play, often, because remember that you don't want to lose your power and influence as leader, right? Well, they don't want to either. They don't want to somehow be made a participant when they started out a leader. Nobody does. Well, nobody wants to be a participant if they're a leader. They want to say, look, I got this done. Look at that. And be the person of power, the person of influence. Yes. So that's very important to consider also, that you don't want you don't want to be a participant, and neither do they. You have to understand that when you're seeking their approval to make a coalition, you need to be equals. They need to understand that it's not, I'm going to be in control of this coalition, and you can participate. Unless you're very unequal in power. But it's still not something that's usually an appealing sentence, okay? Yeah. And yes, you do need to think about that when you're dealing with other leaders, because we're all kind of alphas, and we all like leading, or we wouldn't be doing it for so long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My friends, thank you for being here. We are out of time. We're not quite going to make it to the recipes, but we'll do one of them next time. I know we've had such a fabulous discussion. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for listening. Excuse me, took a sip of water. If you want to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they're archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.